ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तेर्भवति नैष्ठिकी।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 86 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6 एंड 7। वी विल रीड फर्स्ट टेक्स्ट नंबर 6।
सोपश्यतत्र महतीं कन्यां वीरमनोहराम् प्रीति उत्फुल्लेक्षणस्तस्याम् भावक्षुब्धं मनोदधे। सोपश्यत्तत्र महतीं कन्यां वीरमनोहराम् प्रीत्युत्फुल्लेक्षणस्तस्याम् भावक्षुब्धं मनोदधे। सोपश्यत्तत्र महतीं कन्यां वीरमनोहराम् प्रीत्युत्फुल्लेक्षणस्तस्याम् भावक्षुब्धं मनोदधे। सोपश्यत्तत्र महतीं कन्यां वीरमनोहराम् प्रीति उत्फुल्लेक्षणस्तस्याम् भावक्षुब्धं मनोदधे। प्रीति उत्फुल्लेक्षणस्तस्याम् भावक्षुब्धं मनोदधे। सोपश्यत्तत्र महतीं कन्यां वीरमनोहराम् प्रीति उत्फुल्लेक्षणस्तस्याम् भावक्षुब्धं मनोदधे।
माताजी,
सोपश्यत्तत्र महतीं कन्यां वीरमनोहराम् प्रीति उत्फुल्लेक्षणस्तस्याम् भावक्षुब्धं मनोदधे। सोपश्यत्तत्र महतीं कन्यां वीरमनोहराम् प्रीत्युत्फुल्लेक्षणस्तस्याम् भावक्षुब्धं मनोदधे।
वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग्स एंड ट्रांसलेशन बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग, सह ही अपश्यत सॉ तत्र देर महतीम वंडरफुल कन्याम द गर्ल वीर टू हीरोज मनोहराम एंचैंटिंग प्रीति विथ हैप्पीनेस उत्फुल्ल ब्लॉसमिंग ईक्षणः हिज आईज तस्याम अपॉन हर भाव विथ इमोशन क्षुब्धम एजिटेटेड मनः हिज माइंड दधे ही पुट। Translation. There he saw the wonderful maiden Subhadra, who was enchanting to heroes. His eyes opened wide with delight and his mind became agitated and absorbed in thoughts of her. As this verse does not have a purport, we'll go on to the next verse, text number 7.
Sapitam chakame viksha narinam hridayam gamam hasanti vriditapangi tanyasta hridayekshana.
Translation. Arjun was very attractive to women, and as soon as Subhadra saw him, she wanted to have him as her husband. Smiling bashfully with sidelong glances, she fixed her heart and eyes upon him.
Purport.
As soon as she saw him, Subhadra knew that Arjun was no sannyasi, but rather her destined consort. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada elaborates, Arjun, the grandfather of Maharaj Parikshit, was himself extraordinarily beautiful and his bodily structure was very attractive to Subhadra. Subhadra also decided within her mind that she would accept only Arjun as her husband. As a simple girl, she was smiling with great pleasure looking at Arjun. Hare Krishna.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So before I begin to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, first I would like to humbly seek the blessings and prayers of all the devotees, especially His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu and all the other senior devotees, so that I may be able to speak something from Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification and for the pleasure of the devotees. So this is a very, very interesting pastime, seemingly doesn't fit
doesn't look to fit with the mood of the Bhagavatam, which only talks about pure devotional service. But if you see, we'll just reflect a bit on the earlier verses, where Parikshit begins this chapter by asking Sukhdev Goswami about how did my grandfather Arjun and my grandmother Subhadra, how did they get married? So if you see the nature of Parikshit's inquiry, Parikshit is very well aware of the entire pastime. He actually knows how Arjun got married with his grandmother Subhadra. It was common knowledge in the palace. But if you see, still, even though Parikshit knew, generally what happens in houses, if say parents or grandparents, somebody has had a love marriage, the child may want to know from the parents, how did it happen? At the most, you will ask from your grandparents if grandparents did that. But once you know it, then you don't discuss about it any further. But here, Parikshit Maharaj, if you see the circumstances, it's a time of death. It's the last stage of his life. And right at the time of death, he is asking Shukadev Goswami this question about how his family member Arjun got married to Subhadra. It makes sense if Parikshit is asking about the different avatars, their activities which happened in different planets and different yugas. But something that Parikshit knows, which happened in his own palace, which is common knowledge to Parikshit, yet he is asking Shukadev Goswami, and that too at the time of death, and to a person who is not directly his family member. This itself shows that this pastime is not mundane. This pastime is completely spiritual, transcendental. In fact, Parikshit says in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Tam mopayatam pratiyantu vipra ganga cha devi dhritachittamishe dvijopasrishta kuhakastakshakova dashatvaham gayata vishnu gatha. So very right at the very outset of the Bhagavatam, before hearing the entire Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj puts forward his sankalpa very clearly, that I have come here taking the shelter of all the devotees, taking the shelter of Mother Ganga, simply for the purpose of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Vishnu Gatha, glories of Lord Vishnu, glories of Lord Krishna. And I am not afraid of anything that this Brahmana has cursed me, and whatever his creation, Dvijopasrishta Kuhakas Takshakova. So Parikshit Maharaj is absolutely fearless and completely focused on Krishna. So any question he would be asking has to be completely related to Krishna and Krishna's glories and Krishna's qualities. So that itself shows that this pastime is completely spiritual, nothing mundane. Yet, one may have the question that how to understand, as we can see here in these verses, Arjuna is clearly developing a material desire. As soon as he sees Subhadra, his mind is getting agitated. So seemingly Arjuna is affected by passionate desires. And the Bhagavatam says that Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobha dayashtaye cheta etarana vidham sattvam sitam sadve prasidati. So Bhagavatam is meant to become free from the modes of passion and ignorance, and Arjuna is apparently revealing some passionate desire in symptom of mode of passion. So how do we understand? So as already discussed in yesterday's class and day before yesterday's class, that this entire pastime was personally orchestrated by Krishna himself. It was Krishna's own desire and arrangement that Arjun should marry Subhadra. And the details in the Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami summarizes the whole thing in few verses. But if you see the Mahabharata, Krishna explains that in the Mahabharata, Vedavyas explains the whole thing in detail. What exactly happened? How did Krishna orchestrate this entire pastime? So many things Krishna did, we'll just go through it. First, it was Krishna who suggested to Arjun, when Arjun expressed his desire to marry Subhadra. Actually what had happened is, when Arjun was in the Gurukul of Dronacharya, Krishna's cousin brother, who was younger to him, his name was Gada. He was one of the Yadavas. He used to constantly glorify Subhadra, extolling her glorious qualities. And there actually Arjun first developed the desire to get engaged with Subhadra. So that's why Krishna's name is Gadagraja. He is the elder brother of Gada. So when Arjuna goes on Tirth Yatra and finally he comes to Prabhas Kshetra as mentioned in the previous verses and he meets Krishna. Krishna comes out of Dwarka, he comes to Prabhas and right at the entrance he meets Arjuna. And they discuss so many things and Arjuna opens his mind and says that he has come here actually to meet Subhadra. So immediately Krishna actually suggests that for you as a hero, as a Kshatriya, the only worthy way of actually getting Subhadra is by abducting her, kidnapping her. So it was Krishna who planted the seed of that plan of how to abduct Subhadra, that is by abducting her. Also, Arjuna was not thinking that I will just get engaged to Subhadra, I will just marry Subhadra without consideration of what is Subhadra's desire. So he was thinking in his mind that I should somehow get entrance into Dwarka to be able to meet Subhadra and know if it is her desire also. So for that, when he expressed that to Krishna, Krishna said that under the circumstances, Subhadra is very much protected by Balaram and she is always inside the palace and Balaramji has already planned to give Subhadra's hand in marriage to Duryodhan. So there is no chance that in your present dress and present circumstances you can meet Subhadra and know what is her desire. So then it was Krishna again who gave the suggestion to Arjun that you wear the dress of a sannyasi and go to Dwarka, and by wearing the dress of a sannyasi, Balramji will invite you into the palace and then you will actually get the chance to meet Subhadra and know what is her desire. So we are seeing that Krishna is actually the orchestrating the whole event. He is giving ideas to Arjun that he has to abduct Subhadra. He is giving Arjun that you have to take the dress of a sannyasi and get inside. And then after Arjun actually gets inside the palace and he is served by Subhadra by the instructions of Balramji, Krishna arranges another meeting with Subhadra and actually asks Subhadra what is in her mind. And then Subhadra reveals that she is getting attracted to this sannyasi and she doesn't know how and why. And then Krishna explains indirectly that actually Arjuna is desiring to have Subhadra, and indirectly he reveals to Subhadra that that sannyasi is Arjuna himself. So Krishna is actually doing the role of, actively playing the role of matchmaking. And also finally he gave the idea to Arjun how to abduct Subhadra. Not only he said that you have to abduct, but he actually gave the idea how to abduct, as it will be explained in the future verses. That Krishna says that after the Chaturmas gets over, in the nearby mountain called Raivatak mountain, the Dwarkavasis will go to celebrate a festival for Lord Vishnu. This is the Rath Yatra festival for Lord Vishnu. And because this will be a festival time, all the Yadus will let their guard down. They will not be so alert and active. So this is the best time to kidnap Subhadra. So we see all the way Krishna is the one who is giving the ideas to Arjun. And he also says one more thing to Arjun, that when you kidnap and abduct Subhadra, after you do that, ensure that you make Subhadra to sit in the front as if she is driving the chariot. He doesn't reveal to Arjun at that time what is the reason behind it. Later Krishna will actually reveal what's the reason behind it. And finally, that what we are going to see in the future verses, when Balramji comes to know that Arjuna has kidnapped Subhadra, he gets very angry and is instigating all the Yadus that we will go and attack all the Kurus and finish them off. So there, Krishna actually cajoles and convinces Balram not to do it. And he gives many reasons which are explained in the Mahabharata why not to attack the Kurus. So first he says, Arjuna is a very powerful king, he is a very powerful warrior, and he is completely filled with all virtuous qualities. So because of this, there is no better match for Subhadra than Arjun. Also Krishna says that the process, the means that Arjuna has used to get Subhadra, that is kidnapping her, is the only real way that Arjun had. He had no other option. And then he explains and gives reasons why Arjun had no other option. So Krishna says, as far as Yadavas are concerned, if Arjuna had come straight forward and given some gifts, expecting Subhadra in marriage, offering the gifts as a bribe, the Yadavas would not be willing to offer Subhadra in hand, because Subhadra is not something to be exchanged. The Yadavas never considered Subhadra like that. Also, from Arjuna's perspective, if the Yadavas themselves offered Subhadra to Arjun as a charity, as a gift, Arjun would never accept it because of his Kshatriya nature. So considering all the circumstances, the only way was for Arjun to kidnap Subhadra, and that actually increases the glory of our dynasty, because now we are having an alliance with the Pandavas dynasty. So in this way, in many ways, he convinces Balramji why not to attack. And finally he says that if you see, when Arjuna actually abducted Subhadra, it was Subhadra who was driving the chariot away from Dwarka. This shows that Subhadra actually desired to have Arjun as his wife, as her husband. And also he gives the final reason that now that anyway what's done is done, Arjuna has kidnapped Subhadra, so Subhadra will not be accepted by any other person. So let's be happy and celebrate rather than attack the Pandavas. So therefore we see in the future verses that Balramji is convinced by Krishna's arguments, and Balramji decides, let's have a celebration for this entire episode. So in this way we see right from the beginning, Krishna is orchestrating personally the whole event just to make sure that Arjuna marries Subhadra. Therefore it is a personal desire of Lord Krishna. Another reason why Arjuna's developing this desire is not out of place is that Arjuna at this time in the Mahabharata was already established royalty. Arjuna actually was no longer a prince, he was actually a king. They were the rulers of Khandav Prasth, which they had developed into Indraprastha. And Arjuna had already married Draupadi. So as a Kshatriya, it was allowed for them to marry more than one wife and forge alliances with other dynasties to increase their power and control. So Arjuna doing that, marrying Subhadra, getting attracted to Subhadra, was very much within the codes of Kshatriya conduct. And if you see, during the entire pilgrimage of 1 year where Arjuna goes on Tirth Yatra, Arjuna marries not just Subhadra, he marries two more women. One is Ulupi and another is Chitrangad. In all these cases, whether it was Draupadi, Ulupi, Chitrangad or Subhadra, Arjuna was very, very careful to follow the Kshatriya codes of conduct. In the case of Draupadi, during the Draupadi Swayamvar, when Arjuna came there, when the Pandavas came there dressed as Brahmanas, before actually the Pandavas went to try out and attack and hit the target, Arjuna actually sought the permission of Drupad and Drishtadyumna that as Brahmanas, can they actually take part in this competition. So Arjuna is very, very careful to follow the code of conduct and the etiquette. And only after getting the permission of Drishtadyumna and Drupad did actually Arjuna take the bow and hit the target. Also, after hitting the target, when Drupad came and was very happy that somebody was there who is a suitable match for my daughter Draupadi, and he was willing to make Draupadi garland Arjun, at that time Arjun actually refused and said that my elder brothers Yudhishthir and Bhim, they are not yet married. So before they get married, I cannot get married. So again, even at that time, Arjun is not affected by any personal desire for sense gratification. He is only thinking, what is the appropriate code of conduct at that time? What is the appropriate action which will actually be according to the rules of Varnashram, Dharma? And even after Kunti says that whatever you have got, share it among all the 5 brothers, at no stage did Arjun become covetous of Draupadi. Rather, he only thought of fulfilling the desire of Kunti and thought that what is the way? Is there a sanction from the Shastras that we can actually do this, that Draupadi can have 5 husbands? And then finally, Vedavyas himself comes in the scene, and Vedavyas says that actually it is Draupadi's destiny that she has to marry 5 husbands. In this way, only by conforming with Vedavyas and seeing whether it is according to the codes of Dharma, does actually Arjuna and the 5 Pandavas marry Draupadi. So that's why the Bhagavatam also, when Bhishma Dev sees the Pandavas at the final moment of his death, the very first thing he says is, Aho kashtam aho anyayam yad yuyam dharma nandana. And then finally he says, Vipra dharma achyutashraya. He glorifies the Pandavas that in all circumstances of life, whether it was happiness, whether it was any temptation, whether it was difficulties and unfair dealings by the Kauravas, one thing which the Pandavas ensured is they always followed Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya. They always were Dharma Ashraya. They always took shelter of religious principles. And if there was any doubt regarding religious principles, they would get it confirmed by Vipra and Achyuta. So therefore, Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya. If you contrast that, what the Pandavas are doing with modern life and modern society, for Pandavas, the primary consideration was, is it according to religious principles? Is it according to the code of conduct? Is it virtuous? And any conflict was only whether, which is the higher principle of virtue that is applicable in this situation. Any conflict that would happen was only according to that. For example, during the gambling match, Bhima gets so angry with Yudhishthir that Yudhishthir gave away his wife in the gambling, that he actually says that, Yudhishthir, I am going to punish you. I am going to get a hot iron rod and burn your hands. So then all the brothers, they immediately rebuke Bhima that, how can you say that? Yudhishthir is your elder brother. How can you say like that? That are you actually going to do it? Punish your elder brother Bhima, Yudhishthir. So then Bhima says that actually when an elder person commits a mistake, it is sufficient to scold that person and verbally say that I am going to punish. That itself is as good as punishing the person. So we see, even though strong emotions are churning within the heart of Bhima, he is getting so angry, but he does not allow himself to get carried away and forget the code of conduct. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjun is getting strong churning of emotions in his heart when he sees the Kauravas, especially Bhishma and Drona. And he gives so many arguments supporting why he should not do, why he should not fight. But all the reasons are based on Dharma Shastra. So therefore, the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called Arjuna Vishad Yoga. That even in Arjuna's lamentation, he does not get carried away and forget the principles of religion. And he ultimately takes shelter of Krishna to know what is the right religious principle to be applied in that situation. That's why he says in the second chapter, Karpanya dosha upahata svabhava prichamitvam dharma sammuda cheta yachreha syan bruhi nishtitam shishyasteham sadhimam tvam prapannam. That even when Arjuna is confused and strong emotions are churning in Arjuna's heart, he is only thinking, I have to take shelter of Krishna to know what is the right dharma to be done at this situation. Therefore, Bhishma is glorifying the Pandavas as Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya. This was their regulative principle which they followed at all stages of their life. Contrast that with our modern life. If you see, our conflict, our thought process, our consideration mainly is, what is the level of adharma or what is the level of shameless act I can do which is acceptable in the present environment, which I can get away with without getting caught. That's our consideration. But for the Pandavas, it's completely opposite. Their consideration is, what is the right principle to apply in this situation which would satisfy Krishna? So there is a total contrast between how we live today and how actually the Pandavas lived. So the Mahabharata is entirely focused on teaching this thing. What is actually dharma? Through the lives of the Pandavas, the Mahabharata is meant to teach that. So if you consider the Mahabharata, if you compare Mahabharata with the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata is teaching dharma through the lives of the Pandavas, and Srimad Bhagavatam is directly teaching bhakti, especially prema bhakti. Sometimes there exists a tension between these two aspects. What the Mahabharata is teaching, Mahabharata is primarily teaching varnashram, following the principles of varnashram, and Bhagavatam is directly focusing on pure devotional service. There can be a tension, apparent conflict between these two principles. Sometimes even immature devotees, neophyte devotees, they sometimes quote Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conversation with Ramananda Rai, where Lord Chaitanya apparently rejects varnashram, saying that it is external. It is only a bodily
it is on the bodily platform of life. It's Eho Bahya. Age Kaha Ar, Mahaprabhu says to Ramanand Rai. So because of that, because of an immature understanding, a person may neglect to follow the Varnashram principles in the name of Bhakti, following the Bhagavad Dharma. And he may commit some improper acts, like for example, he may disrespect his parents, he may disrespect his elders, he may not follow the laws of the land, or he may prematurely renounce his prescribed duties in the name of Bhakti. These are the possibilities in which an immature devotee may justify breaking of Varnashram principles in the name of Bhakti, quoting Shastras, quoting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But actually, if you consider the matter carefully, there is no conflict between Varnashram and Bhakti. Rather, Shastras teach us how Varnashram is meant to be a stepping stone to Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada writes in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that Varnashram system is a stepping stone to spiritual understanding. The purpose of Varnashram system is actually to bring one to the platform of Bhakti. And we will see in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the entire third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga is dedicated to this principle of doing one's prescribed duties according to Varnashram. Right in the beginning of third chapter, Krishna says in verse number 5 to verse number 8, Krishna gives various reasons to Arjun why you should not neglect your prescribed duties as a Kshatriya. First he tells Arjun that you cannot run away from your nature. It is your nature as a Kshatriya, so you have to act according to your nature. You cannot escape it, you cannot run away from it. So how does nature come? Nature basically comes is a consequence of our upbringing, our training, the association we have, and our previous desires and samskars. So combination of these four factors actually forms our nature. So from that perspective, Arjuna had the nature of a Kshatriya. He had the upbringing, training, and the association of Kshatriyas. So it was evident that Arjuna had to act as a Kshatriya, and Krishna is telling that you cannot run away from your nature as a Kshatriya. So that's the first reason why you must act as a Kshatriya. Krishna says, Karyate hi avashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunair. That this is the mode of nature that you are affected by. You have the nature of a Kshatriya, you have to act according to that. Then Krishna says that not only it is due to the modes of nature, it is also your essential nature to be actively engaged in something. Krishna says, Nahi kashchit kshanam api jatu tishtatya akarmakrit. As Prabhupada writes in the purport, that it is a soul's nature to be engaged in some activity. It is not just the nature of the body. So that way, Krishna is trying to convince Arjun that you have to act as a Kshatriya. The very next verse Krishna says, that if you prematurely try to renounce your prescribed duties, premature renunciation without purification is only pretension. So Krishna says, Mityachara sa uchyate. Then in text number 7, Krishna says that Arjuna, you are concerned that by doing this activity, I will become bound in reactions to the activity. Krishna clarifies, it is attachment to sense gratification which causes bondage. It is not activity per se which causes bondage. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that act but without attachment to results. And finally in verse number 8, Krishna says that you have to do your duty even to maintain your body. So in this way, Krishna gives various reasons why Arjun, you have to follow your dharma, you have to follow your duty as a Kshatriya and fight. So Bhagavad Gita is clearly establishing the principle of Varnashram, that each person has to act according to his nature. And further clarification Krishna gives when Krishna says, Shreyan swadharmo viguna paradharma swanushtitaha swadharmo nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. So here Krishna is telling swanushtita. He is using the word swanushtita to indicate that one must be situated in one's nature according to Varnashram. Also Krishna in the 18th chapter, he quotes this verse again. Again he says, Shreyan swadharmo viguna paradharma swanushtitaha swabhava niyatam karma kurvan napnoti kilvisham. So in so many ways Krishna is convincing Arjuna that you have to act because this is your nature. Swabhava niyatam karma. Your karma as a Kshatriya to fight is born of your own swabhav. And kurvan napnoti kilvisham. Don't worry Arjun, there is nothing wrong if you fight and kill because it's your nature. Now the question arises, how does the Bhagavad Gita actually reconcile bhakti and varnashram? Because Bhagavad Gita is focusing on varnashram, as Krishna, as we have already discussed so many verses. So Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, Krishna says, Yataha pravrtir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam svakarmanatam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. So here Krishna is actually giving the hint and indication how varnashram can lead to bhakti. Krishna is saying svakarmana tam abhyarchya. Whatever activities you are doing, offer it to me, offer it to Krishna, and by that siddhim vindati manava, you will attain success in your life. So in this way we see actually Gita does not reject varnashram, rather Gita encourages a person to be situated in varnashram and to be offering the fruits of one's activities to Krishna. In that way one actually attains success. The same thing is said in the Bhagavatam also. In the very first canto of the Bhagavatam, second chapter, Suta Goswami is telling the sages, Ata pumbir dvijasreshta varnashrama vibhagasha swanushtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. So again the word is used is swanushtitasya dharmasya. You have to be situated in your dharma, but the purpose, the perfection is samsiddhir haritoshanam. The purpose is to please Krishna. So in so many ways the Bhagavatam is teaching and Bhagavad Gita is teaching that there is actually no conflict between following one's varnashram principles and bhakti. The only idea is that the goal must be fixed. One must be fixed on the goal, which is to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. That's why Suta Goswami concludes that particular section of the second chapter by saying, Tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan satvatam pati shrotavya kirtitavyascha dheyas pujyascha nityada. So in this way Sukadeva Goswami is saying you have to follow the principles of varnashram, but at the same time your mind should be focused on Krishna, how to please Krishna, how to serve Krishna. This we see actually in the life of Bhishma Dev. I would like to take the example of Bhishma Dev from the Mahabharata. When Krishna is saying that svakarmana tam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava, Krishna is saying that in the Bhagavad Gita, offer, do all your activities for me, you will attain perfection. Krishna demonstrated through the life of Bhishma Dev, which we will discuss briefly, that how by following one's duties, one's dharma, Krishna personally comes and delivers such a person at the time of death, which is the most crucial hour of need. So if you see Bhishma Dev, his life, his personal integrity was unquestionable. He took a vow for the sake of the throne, for the sake of Hastinapur, and he followed the vow till the time of death. So there was no question of him breaking the vow. So Bhishma was a person of unquestionable integrity and character. And if you see, as an elder, because Bhishma Dev had a responsibility towards not just the Kauravas, but also towards the Pandavas. So when Pandu died and Kunti and the five sons were in the forest, it was Bhishma Dev who called them back to Hastinapur so that they actually can get trained as a Kshatriya in the palace itself. And it was Bhishma Dev who ensured that the Pandavas get training under Dronacharya. All the training for the military and administrative skills which are required to rule the kingdom. And finally, even after the scheming of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, where they send Pandavas to Varnavat, and that ultimately fails by the help of Vidura and the Lord, and the Pandavas escape Varnavat and go incognito as Brahmanas and finally win Draupadi's hand. So then it was Bhishma again who suggested and gave some good sense to Dhritarashtra that now you have committed a mistake, but now at least bring back, call them back to Hastinapur and give half the kingdom to the Pandavas, because it's their duty and their right to rule the throne. So then Dhritarashtra is forced to give half the kingdom to the Pandavas, but even in that he gives Khandavprastha, which is actually a jungle, and later the Pandavas convert the jungle into Indraprastha, a big city. So all throughout, Bhishma Dev was very, very scrupulous in ensuring that as an elder in the Kuru family, he had certain duties and responsibilities towards the Pandavas, and he ensured at every stage he followed that. So his personal integrity and his duty towards the throne and towards the Pandavas, he followed all through his life. Therefore, at the time of death, Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev. Krishna wanted to actually bring out what is the actual glory of Bhishma Dev. He arranged such a way that when Yudhishthir Maharaj is lamenting over the death of so many people after the Kurukshetra war, so many sages came and tried to pacify Yudhishthir. But by the arrangement of the Lord, none of them were able to convince Yudhishthir, even though they spoke so much philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, that ultimately we are not the bodies, we are the soul. But even the philosophy was not able to penetrate Yudhishthir, because Krishna had some other thing in plan. Another way of seeing the thing is that it's not merely philosophy which can penetrate a person. Krishna wanted to use the family relationship, the intimacy of family relationship, to convince Yudhishthir. That's why it said blood is thicker than water. Even in Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter, Krishna says that Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dhiras tatrana muhyati. That you are not the body, you are the soul. There is no need to get bewildered for the changes of the body. But right in the next verse, Krishna says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhada agama payino nityas tam stitikshasva bharata. So there he is using the word bharata and kaunteya to refer to Arjuna's blood lineage, that he is connected to his mother as son of Kunti. Right in the previous verse, he has already rejected the bodily concept, that you are not the body, you are the soul. And right in the very next verse, Krishna is referring to Arjuna as Kaunteya. He doesn't call Krishna as Atma. So by calling Arjuna as Kaunteya, he is using the blood relationship to encourage Arjuna to fight. So here also in the Bhagavatam we see, Krishna is going to use the intimacy of the blood relationship to convince Yudhishthir to follow his duty, which no one else, including Vedavyas, were unable to do. So what the great sages and Vedavyas were unable to do, Krishna is now going to use Bhishma to do that. So when Krishna takes all the Pandavas along with Yudhishthir to the bed of arrows where Bhishma Dev is lying, so then Bhishma Dev, seeing Yudhishthir, especially dressed in the royal dress, he actually starts shedding tears, and then he glorifies the Pandavas' sacrifice and how much struggle and difficulties they had to go through in life. And then actually Bhishma Dev, because he sees that now the time of Yudhishthir to sit on the throne has come, he starts instructing Yudhishthir on the various dharmas to be followed. Bhishma Dev, he teaches Yudhishthir very elaborately. This is described in the Mahabharata. He talks about Rajadharma, Dana Dharma, Kula Dharma, Apad Dharma, Stri Dharma, and so many dharmas he is talking about to Yudhishthir. Interestingly, it is explained that Krishna was standing at the head of Bhishma Dev when Bhishma Dev was giving all these sermons to Yudhishthir. So Krishna saw that Bhishma Dev is speaking so many dharmas to Yudhishthir, but there is a chance that Bhishma Dev may forget his own dharma, which is Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. So Krishna was so kind, Krishna thought Bhishma should not get so carried away and forget his own dharma in the process of teaching dharma to Yudhishthir. So what Krishna did, he did one simple thing. He was standing at the head of Bhishma Dev, he silently came and stood at the feet of Bhishma Dev. So as soon as Bhishma Dev saw Krishna, he still continued speaking to Yudhishthir. He again saw Krishna, still continued speaking to Yudhishthir. And then the third time he immediately realized, oh my God, I have been instructing Yudhishthir on dharma, but I am forgetting my own dharma, which is to remember Krishna. So immediately Bhishma Dev decided, I will stop all speaking now, I will simply focus my mind on Krishna. So in this way we see how Krishna actually gave so much mercy to Bhishma Dev at the time of death, that he personally appeared there and ensured that at the time of death, Bhishma Dev remembers only Krishna. So that success which Krishna talks about, Siddhim Vindati Manava Swakarmana Tam Abhyarcha, that success Krishna personally arranges if one follows the principles of Varnashram all his life, at the same time focused on pleasing Krishna. So through the life of Bhishma Dev, Krishna demonstrated this principle that when Varnashram Dharma is followed with Krishna in the center, then Krishna personally delivers the person, and he showed that through the life of Bhishma Dev. Another point which I would just finally like to discuss is that what is the connection between Varnashram Dharma and Sadhana Bhakti, which we are all been given by our acharyas, by our spiritual masters. So the connection is, Srila Prabhupada says in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that prescribed duties of Varnashram are given just to purify the hearts of materialistic men. There is only one purpose of Varnashram, which is purification. And the purpose of Sadhana Bhakti is also purification. So there is a common thread between Varnashram and Sadhana Bhakti. Both of it are meant for the purpose of purification. But purification for what? Purification for the purpose of becoming Krishna conscious, remembering Krishna. So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives the example of how devotees should avoid eating food cooked by non-devotees. And then Mahaprabhu says this famous verse, Vishaira anna khaile dusht hoya man, mana dusht hoile nahe krishner smaran, krishner smriti vina hai nishvale jivan. So again, he is establishing the principle that this regulation, that devotees should eat only prasad and avoid food cooked by non-devotees, is only for the purpose of remembrance of Krishna. Because if one eats the food cooked by non-devotees, one's mind gets contaminated, and when mind gets contaminated, one cannot remember Krishna. If one cannot remember Krishna, one's life is ultimately a waste, unsuccessful. Krishna Smriti Vinu Haya Nishvala Jivan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is establishing that the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti is actually meant only to purify the mind so as to be able to remember Krishna. That's why Rupa Goswami also says, Smartavyam Satatam Vishnum Vismartavyam Na Jatuchit Sarva Vidhi Nishedayor Etayor Eva Kinkare. That's the whole purpose of sadhana bhakti, is to be able to remember Krishna. And purification is required only to be able to remember Krishna. So Jiva Goswami, this is a very interesting verse which somebody recently sent me. Jiva Goswami says in the Bhakti Sandarbha that the chanting of the holy names is very, very important as a sadhana for purification. So he quotes this verse. I won't quote the entire verse. The verse goes as follows. This is in the Bhakti Sandarbha. Prathama namna shravanam antakaran shuddhyartham apekshyam shuddhecha antakarane rupa shravanena tad udaya yogyata bhavati. And the verse goes on. So first thing Jiva Goswami says, prathama namna shravanam antakaram shuddhyartham apekshyam. So Jiva Goswami says the sadhaka for all conditioned soul is to hear and chant the names of Krishna. For what purpose? Antakaran shuddhyartham apekshyam. For the purpose of purifying our mind. And what happens when the mind gets purified? Shuddhecha antakarane rupa shravanena tad udaya yogyata bhavati. And then Jiva Goswami goes on to explain that when the mind gets purified by hearing and chanting the holy name of Krishna, one develops yogyata, qualification, to actually hear and meditate on Krishna's rupa, guna and lila. So as we see, whether it is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether it is Rupa Goswami or Jiva Goswami, all the acharyas have emphasized on chanting of the holy names as a sadhana for purification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. And Srila Prabhupada, in his own life, he also emphasized the chanting of the holy names as a process of purification. Prabhupada's famous statement, chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. And Srila Prabhupada, especially in the process of chanting the holy names, stressed on Nama Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names. 2 years back, 2-3 years back, when His Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj had come to Bombay during Kirtan Mela, he gave a short talk on the power of Nama Sankirtan. And then Indradyumna Maharaj gave the example that among Japa and Nam Sankirtan is more powerful than Japa, because Japa is an individual process, Nam Sankirtan is a group process. And then he gave the example that if a person alone goes to petition to the government to make some change, to bring about some order in the system, the government may not take him very seriously. But when he goes as a group, when he collects many signatures and makes a petition to the government is forced to take his petition very seriously. That's why even on the internet, there is a website change.org. So where they collect online petitions, and many of these online petitions have forced the governments to look into that and make changes. So there Indradyumna Maharaj gave the example that, this example, and said that the group chanting of the holy names, congregational chanting of Nama Sankirtan, is so powerful that in spite of our disqualification, because we are chanting Krishna's name in the association of the Vaishnavas, Krishna is forced to take our petition very seriously. So that's the whole glories of the process of Nama Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So to summarize, what we discussed in today's class is, first we discussed how Parikshit Maharaj asking this question to Shukadev Goswami itself shows that this pastime has no trace of anything mundane. The whole pastime is completely transcendental. And then we discussed how to understand Arjuna developing or manifesting a passionate desire. How we discussed is that actually it was Krishna's personal desire, and Krishna orchestrated in many ways for Arjun to marry Subhadra. And also from Arjuna's perspective, having such a desire was not wrong, because it was within the code of Kshatriya conduct. And we also discussed how Arjuna and the Pandavas, all through their life, they stuck to the principle of Vipradharma Achyutashraya. And then we discussed that how this Varnashram and Bhakti, an immature understanding of Bhakti, can lead to somebody rejecting Varnashram, giving Bhakti as an excuse. But actually what the Shastras speak is, it asks us to be engaged in Varnashram but focused on pleasing Krishna. We discussed from the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. And finally, through the example of the life of Bhishma Dev, we discussed how Krishna personally orchestrates success in a devotee's life, in a sadhaka's life, who follows the codes of dharma, the principles of Varnashram, keeping Krishna in the center. And he made the life of Bhishma successful. And for us in Kali Yuga, for us sadhakas, the dharma, the main dharma to be followed is the process of chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If anybody has any questions, we can discuss after the class. So seeking forgiveness from all the devotees if I have spoken anything much beyond my level of realization, I would like to thank you all for your patient hearing. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.